Well, good evening, everyone. We did have a closed session at 5 o'clock. I was a little bit tardy on that, I must admit, but we have a great council that went ahead and got things started, and I joined in the nick of time. And now we're back and see if there's anything to report from closed session.
There's no reportable action.
Thank you. We'll go ahead with our regular session and call that to order. We're going to begin with a Pledge of Allegiance. And since we have our Planning Commissioner, Mark Derez, I'd ask him to lead us in the pledge. To the flag. Thank you. And Mark, thank you for your service on our Planning Commission. Next item, we'll go ahead with the roll call, please.
Councilmember Borba?
Here.
Councilmember Moreno?
Here.
Councilmember Skirdevit?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Here.
Mayor O'Malley?
Here.
All present.
Thank you. Next item is the approval of the agenda, and I would ask Council's indulgence. I would like to move item C1 up to just prior to item B1, as I think civility is always a good topic to start a council meeting off with. Would there be any objection to that? And if so, I'll make the motion that we approve the agenda with that modification.
Second.
A motion by Mayor O'Malley, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Robo?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Next item is a presentation. We have a proclamation recognizing June 1st, 2018 as Hunger Awareness Day. And to receive that will be our CEO of the food bank, Mr. Kevin Durbinski. Why don't we begin with the resolution or the proclamation by Ms. Heather Moreno.
Thank you. Good evening. Whereas the Food Bank Coalition of San Luis Obispo County is a countywide organization dedicated to eliminating hunger, and whereas the Food Bank administers over 70 countywide mobile food distribution sites throughout the county to make nutritious food available to those in need, including underserved areas like San Simeon, Chandon, California Valley, San Miguel, and Napomo, and whereas the Food Bank works with a network of 100-plus community and agency partners to distribute fresh produce, rescued, and sourced food, and whereas in 2017, the Food Bank distributed 5 million pounds of nutritious food, over half of which was fresh produce, to over 25,000 San Luis Obispo County residents per month who are struggling with hunger. And whereas the Food Bank is coordinating a countywide event to promote Hunger Awareness Day on June 1st, 2018. And whereas on June 1st, 2018, the Food Bank believes that the people of San Luis Obispo County will help either in person, via the internet, or phone to raise funds needed to help stamp out local hunger. And whereas by everyone giving $1 on one day, we can raise the funds needed to eliminate hunger. Now, therefore, we, the City Council of the City of Atascadero, do hereby proclaim June 1st, 2018 as Hunger Awareness Day in Atascadero.
Thank you. Thank you, Heather. Mr. Durbinski.
Mayor O'Malley, fellow council members and esteemed staff of the City of Atascadero, I rise this evening with humility and in gratitude for this recognition designating June 1st as Hunger Awareness Day. This recognition is especially significant coming as it does from this august body and the beautiful community of citizens you represent. Atascadero is one of the strongest volunteer communities around, and the nonprofits that operate here, including those who source their food from the food bank, rely on the many citizens here who are unafraid to look beyond their own self-interest and willing to step out to care for their neighbor. Atascadero Loaves and Fishes, for example, are one of our most connected agencies. And like many of the 90 other nonprofits we work with throughout the county, they rely on the scale and purchasing power of the food bank to make economically feasible their successful efforts. And on June 1st, Hunger Awareness Day, in addition to our flagship location at Vons on El Camino Real, the Kiwanis Club will also have their volunteers at Kmart, and proceeds from that collection will help benefit Atascadero Loaves and Fishes. The food bank operates on a simple premise that every person in this county deserves reliable access to healthy, nutritious food. That goes for our seniors and for good folks for facing unexpected hardships and working families so they can gather the family at table for a meal together. And our children who need good nutrition to go to school and recreate like all kids need to. Every person in this county deserves reliable access to healthy, nutritious food. Currently, the food bank distributes to 14,000 households and 30,000 individuals every month. 40% of the food we distribute goes to children and 20% to seniors. Also, half of the 5 million pounds of food we distributed last year was fresh produce, because healthy food means we're building healthier communities. And did you know that last year the food bank enjoyed the support of 4,700 volunteers? I would say that that total of 4,700 volunteers takes the cake, but our robust nutrition policy prohibits the distribution of sweets. These able volunteers assisted in our warehouse, harvested in our Glean Slow program, and shared their talents in our nutrition education outreach. And so, ladies and gentlemen of this council, during the month of May and in advance of our June 1st Hunger Awareness Day, we're asking folks around the county to do something special, and that is to consider skipping a meal, one meal, during the month of May in solidarity with those who go without. So I would humbly ask you, as this city's representative, ask this good staff and the citizens of Atascadero within the sound of my voice to consider skipping a meal during the month of May, reflecting upon it, and perhaps taking the few dollars you saved and donating them at slowfoodbank.org. Or just maybe the next time you're not skipping a meal, you're simply enjoying great eats with family and friends. You could also donate in solidarity with your neighbors who go without. And better yet, you can save yourself a lot of trouble. Just become a monthly donor. You'll be contributing much to help our joint mission to alleviate hunger and build a healthier community. Thank you for considering skipping a meal in May in solidarity with the food insecure. Please consider volunteering at our Hunger Awareness Day sites on June 1st. Thanks for this recognition, and please know of our deep appreciation for your leadership of this beautiful city, whose citizens have long demonstrated their willingness to work so that every person has reliable access to healthy, nutritious food.
Well, thank you, and I think we will join you in a picture so I can demonstrate my ease of giving up one meal. I understand. But I think that is something I can certainly do. We'll up here too. Mr. Planning Commissioner, join us on this. Well, thank you, Kevin, for being here and for your work on this project. Next item is the consent calendar. We have three items which are considered fairly routine and can be reviewed with one motion unless a council member would like to pull one for more discussion and or a member of the public. But first, I'm going to check in with the city attorney, because item three is the Atascadero Tourism Business Improvement District annual assessment. That's an item that I normally could not vote on individually. Am I able to vote on that as part of a consent calendar or notice abstaining on that particular item, or how would you direct me on that?
My recommendation is that you indicate you're recusing yourself from voting on that item and that you say why, but you can remain at the dais.
Thank you. Is any member of the council wishing to pull a consent calendar item for further discussion? Any member of the public? Seeing none, we can vote on all three items. However, I will be abstaining from item three, as I am a member of the Tourism Business Improvement District Board, being an owner of a lodging industry, and so it would be a conflict of interest for me to have an opinion strongly on or voting on that particular item, so I will sit that one out. Is there a motion for all consent calendar items?
I will move approval of the consent calendar.
Second.
A motion by Councilwoman Moreno, seconded by Councilman Sturdivant. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Burbo?
Yes.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes, on item A1 and A2, and abstain from item A3.
Motion passes.
Thank you. Next up is the updates from the city manager.
Thank you, Mayor. While Luke gets us up, I'll go ahead and start out. Members of the Atascadero Police and Fire Department took on Special Olympics hotshot basketball teams at the community center on Saturday, May 12th. It was a close game, not really. It was 63-33 in favor of the hotshots, and the hotshots remain undefeated. I was able to go to part of the game, and I could see why the Hotshots are undefeated. They are very, very good basketball teams. They did divide up into four different teams or rotated in and out on the court. But excellent passing, shooting, working together as a team, very strong players. So it is... a lot of fun to go see, a lot of fun to participate in. It looked like both our police and fire personnel were having a good time out there. And it's a great fundraising event for the Special Olympics. We do want to thank everyone that made the event possible, and I believe that our police and fire departments are already looking forward to a rematch in 2019. And hopefully they'll be working on their game between now and then. The Hotshots definitely outperformed them on the 12th, but it's a lot of fun. I encourage everyone to go see that. We have another competition. This is the Monster Skank Contest 2018. So for 16 years now, Recreation Department members from across the country have teamed up to put on the Monster Skank Contest. The committee is made up of all recreation staff from Templeton, San Luis Obispo City and County, Morro Bay, YMCA, Atascadero, and Paula Anton, our own Paula Anton, is the one who can be credited with helping establish the competition back in 2002. The 2018 series kicked off at A-Town Park back on April 14th, and then over the succeeding weeks, competitions were held in Los Osos, River Beach, Morro Bay, and Templeton. The final contest of the series was held last Saturday at the Slow Skate Park, where the overall series results were decided and grand prizes were awarded to first through third place winners in each division. This contest allows for skaters of all ages to participate in competitive contests, starting with a 7 and under division and going all the way up through all ages women division and all ages amateur men's division. Monster Skate is a great regional event that encourages people of all ages to enjoy skating, to acknowledge the art and difficulty of the sport, and encourages family participation. As you guys remember, we've also held nationwide skate contests here at our skate park. Our skate park right there near the Colony Park Community Center is a wonderful asset in this community. It is open to the public. We encourage you, if you haven't, we encourage members of the public, if they haven't been able to go check out our skate park, please do. It's fantastic just to watch around, get a tour, get a feel for the center. It's a great ability. I mean, a great facility. We also had Lake Fest 2018. So the Friends of the Atascadero Lake held its third annual Lake Fest last Saturday, featuring a variety of activities, including cardboard boat races. Participants built their own boats with cardboard and duct tape and then tested their seaworthiness against each other competitors. The event also featured stand-up paddleboard races, a beer garden, and kids' activity. It turned out to be a beautiful day and perfect temperature, and attendees had a really great time. How did Rotary do?
Well, you see in the upper right corner, that is us arriving at the finish line much before the for the others. But there are other elements in the race, including style and such things as that. So we did not win.
Uh-huh.
We were the first to arrive in, but Rotary did not win the race this year.
So you were
won the race, but not the competition.
You were
shall
the fastest, but you did it with the least amount of style, is what I'm hearing.
Yes. So that is a cardboard canoe. And our foreign exchange student from Brazil did the dragon's head on the front. So that was nice. Nice touch.
That's fantastic.
And I believe the boat, there's a reddish boat in the upper left-hand picture that I believe won the overall competition.
So that, again, is a great event, a lot of fun, and we appreciate everybody that participates. We also have another event coming up. This will be the Memorial Day Ceremony and Barbecue. The ceremony will be held at the Faces of Freedom Veterans Memorial on Monday, May 28th, beginning at 12 noon sharp. There will be music and a community barbecue following the ceremony at Atascadero Lake Park. Barbecue tri-tip sandwiches with salad, chips, and drinks will be available for $10, or you can have a half sandwich or hot dog with chips and a drink for $7. This is another event that is well worth attending. They usually get some fantastic speakers. It moves along nicely, and it's really a moving ceremony befitting Memorial Day. So please, everyone is welcome to attend. It does start at 12 noon sharp. We have some grand openings going on, too. The Nautical Cowboy, that's the restaurant at the Carlton, is now open. The new Nautical Cowboy restaurant at the Carlton is open nightly for dinner from 4 to 9 p.m. and 4 to 11 p.m. on Fridays and Saturdays. They offer both new and traditional American cuisine, including burgers, sandwiches, pasta and steak, fine wine, and beer. And it's a terrific place for dinner with a great bar and exceptional food. We also have Shrimp Broil. It's a family-friendly Cajun fusion seafood restaurant located in Adobe Plaza. The menu includes crab, lobster, oysters, shrimp, clams, fish and chips, calamari, fish tacos, salads, and sides. Desserts include deep-fried banana, deep-fried cheesecake, vanilla banana ice cream, and creme brulee. And most of the seafood is sourced from Pier 46 in Templeton. The owners do try to find the finest and freshest ingredients. The hours are 11 to 2 p.m. and 4 to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday. They are closed on Sunday. So please go try our new Shrimp Broil restaurant. And we also have Central Coast Cafe. This is a really cute little cafe that opened recently downtown. They are located on Traffic Way in the El Paseo Plaza at 5810 Traffic Way. The cafe is open from 5:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. and they are currently serving breakfast and lunch. With an easy and pleasant walk from City Hall, it has already become a very popular place with City Hall employees for both breakfast and lunch. Everybody on the staff has been raving about their food, so they've only been open for about a week and a half, and we've all had a chance to walk down there. Everything has a fresh and flavorful ingredients, and there are plenty of options for both breakfast and lunch, including breakfast burritos, eggs and omelets, sandwiches, salads, and delicious pastries and desserts. We highly recommend giving all three of these a try. I've heard wonderful things about all three of these new restaurants, and we're so happy to have them be a part of our Atascadero business community. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Council questions. Looks like you've covered. I do have a question for the city attorney. So even if you finish first, but you are wrong on every other category, that's still a loss, right? You lost. Is that correct?
I refuse to answer on the grounds it may tend to incriminate me.
Okay. Just checking. Well, thank you for that update. Next item on the agenda is community forum, which is an opportunity for all of you to speak to all of us on anything that's not on the agenda but under our jurisdiction. So please come forward, state your name for the record. Welcome.
Hi. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and esteemed council members. My name is Dan Feldman. I live here in Atascadero, and I'm the community liaison for Atheists United San Luis Obispo. AU SLO is a vibrant and active community organization with over 600 members all over San Luis Obispo County. One of AU SLO's mission is to advocate for the separation of church and state. That's why I'm here tonight. I just wanted to remind you all that an increasing number of your constituents are not religious. Please remember that we're here working, raising families, paying taxes, voting. And yes, we are concerned with the intrusions of religion into our secular government. And we're not alone. I'll leave you with this quote. The religious factions that are growing throughout our land are not using their religious clout with wisdom. They are trying to force government leaders into following their position 100%. If you disagree with these religious groups on a particular moral issue, they complain. They threaten you with a loss of money or votes or both. I'm frankly sick and tired of the political preachers across this country telling me that if I want to be a moral person, I must believe in A, B, C, and D. Just who do they think they are? Unquote. Senator Barry Goldwater, Republican from Arizona, Congressional Record, September 16th, 1981. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other speakers? Seeing none, approach will close the community forum. Bring it back to council. And our next agenda item will be item C1, which is the SLO Regional Code of Civility. We do have our own chamber executive director here, and I can give a little preface to this, and I think our chamber exec can fill in a little bit more of where this initiated. On a visit to Colorado with chambers having a discussion with electeds and the community about problems that they were facing, and it was brought back to us. We've had two discussions at our countywide mayor's meeting on this topic, and a lot of mayors, of course, realize we've had problems in our past. Every city's gone through civil chaos. And I think every city has actually done pretty well in coming up with their own codes to kind of rectify this. Our city went through a building public trust in a, I'd say it was a dark time in our city and council. And we went through a process where I think we really learned from that. And the chamber was a help with that process as well in that time. But now there's a thought that even though each city has gone through a process to look at how we can be civil with each other and with the public and what we can learn from that, there's a desire that we take a collective stand as elected officials countywide and say we need to really pay attention to this, much like the speaker during the community forum, that it's gotten to be a new low, I think, nationally with a political rhetoric. And I think we want to make sure that we are maximizing the public process. We want everyone to feel comfortable at speaking at a community forum or any time engaging their elected officials. And if it's not civil, whether it's council members, supervisors, or any electeds, or the civil process, then people don't feel comfortable speaking, and then we make not as good a decisions because we miss out on some input. So this is being brought forward, this suggestion that we have a code of civility really oriented towards electeds, but we'd like to take a stand countywide, and I'd invite Derek to tell us a little bit of how the chambers have gotten involved in this and how they envision this going.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council, for allowing us the opportunity to share tonight the SLO Regional Code of Civility. The mayor said it very eloquently. This conversation truly started after a regional trip by the business community, elected officials, and others on a trip to Denver, Boulder. to learn about regionalism and what it means to work in conjunction as a region rather than apart. Following that trip, a discussion began due to some unfortunate circumstances happening outside of Atascadero, but within the county region, about civility. I am thrilled that in the 5 months that I have been here, I have seen the utmost grace and respect from our city council. And so I am thrilled that we are able to take this step in presenting this to you tonight. The Code of Civility was truly written by the regional chambers, or the chambers throughout the San Luis Obispo County, with input from mayors and other elected officials from Paso Robles all the way down to Arroyo Grande and everywhere in between. While we recognize that the city of Atascadero, as well as others, have adopted norms of their own to help guide their meeting processes, we believe that this code of civility will truly serve as a regional basis to show your constituents and the business community and others that we intend to act civil together. This document is intended to be co-owned in part by all of the elected officials in San Luis Obispo County, starting with the seven cities and the county of San Luis Obispo, co-owned with the Chambers of Commerce representing the business community, encouraging our local city councils and county board of supervisors to act civil, as well as members of the press. They serve a very important role here in our community, both the Tribune and the Atascadero News, to encourage our elected officials to act civil as we do business, not just here on the dais, but also in the public as well. I think this code of civility is a really beautiful start to acting on a regional level and beginning to work collaboratively with our neighboring cities to attract business and do a variety of other things that are hopefully on the horizon very soon. I, again, am super thrilled that Atascadero is the first city in the county to have this code of civility brought forth to the entire city council. We are, the regional chambers and others are planning for a late June signing ceremony to have all of our mayors and chambers of commerce and other elected officials present to truly make a statement to the public that we commit to acting civil in the work that we do. And as usual, Atascadero is leading the way in having this conversation to show our peers in neighboring cities and on the County Board of Supervisors how important it is to act civil. So you have a document before you that shares a couple of different things. I just want to read some of the bullet points. In our deliberations, we pledge to listen first, respect different opinions, be courteous, disagree constructively, and debate the policy, not the person. And that's truly the basis of this code of civility. And I am proud that the Atascadero Chamber is here to support it tonight and encourage your support as well. Mr. Mayor, I'm available for any questions if you or any members of the council should have any.
Thank you. And I think having reviewed, I know the city managers have had a similar discussion, and I assume you've reviewed this with our city attorney. It would be my intention to endorse this on behalf of our council and all of the mayors at the upcoming signing event. And I think this is an opportunity for council members to weigh in. Councilwoman Fonzie has been very involved with this process with me, and she's attended our last countywide mayor's meeting, which we hosted in Atascadero, where this was one of the principal, in fact, it was the principal topic, and we had San Luis Chamber Executive Director presenting there. And so I would ask Councilman Fonzie if you'd like to weigh in on some of this process.
I'd be happy to. When I first heard about this, I was rather skeptical. We've been through this kind of a exercise before, and it's my opinion that when you become an elected official, you already know when you're doing something right or wrong when you're speaking. You know what civility is, and if you're not willing to be civil or you don't want to be civil, you won't be. So ascribing to a code seemed to me at the time to be just a waste of paper. So I went into it with rather a negative thought process behind my actions. So I questioned this, and we came to an understanding when I talked to those in the Chamber of Commerce in particular that there were a couple of things that were really important, but the main one was accountability. And if you look into the Code of Civility, it's the third paragraph down. It says, we have crafted this Code of Civility as a promise to each other and to the people and institutions we serve that we will always strive to conduct our debates, whether in person, online, or in written communications, in ways that allow for the widest range of opinions on ideas and policies, yet also respect the dignity, integrity, and rights of those with whom we might disagree. With our individual and collective commitment to this code, we welcome our elected colleagues, the press, and the public to hold us accountable. Holding us accountable is the key. We would like the press to call those out who are not being accountable, who are not being civil or acting out. We would like the public to let us know if we're doing something wrong, and we'd like the press actually to be the forerunner, to the public next, and our colleagues to chime in on this. And I think we can make this meaningful if we actually make it an exercise that we engage in every meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. And I do think it is a responsibility of council members to, one, self-correct ideally, but two, I think we have to take the first action if we're on a board. I'm on numerous regional boards with the 5 county supervisors and 7 elected representatives from each city. I think we have to take responsibility then next in assisting our colleagues to make sure we are maximizing the public process with appropriate behavior on our part. And then after that, we deserve whatever we get. If we fail, I think certainly not getting reelected is important, but I would hope then the community would use public forum to hold us accountable. I don't think that's been a problem in Atascadero for many years now. And in most cities, it seems like periodically there's a problem somewhere. I think this is just a good stake in the ground reminder for folks that it's something we can kind of review. And I think we've discussed that maybe each new council comes in after election and kind of reviews this, just like we do our council norms, that we've learned from experience and we've learned from past, and we don't want to go back. So thank you for bringing this forward. Do any other council members have questions for our chamber exec? If not, is there any objection to me going forward representing our council with this item?
And are you asking for a motion to like authorize you to sign it, or what do you want?
I'm going to defer to our city attorney. If agendized item, what would be the appropriate way to make the strongest statement we can?
I'm checking the agenda. Yeah. It calls for council to review and adopt the SLO Regional Code of Civility, so I would say a motion.
Okay, so then I'm going to open it up to the public for any comment on this item, and then I'll bring it back to Councilmember Burbeau. Seeing no one approach, we'll bring it back to council, and you were ready to make...
I was just asking what you wanted us to do.
Well, and I think since you touched it, and the city attorney says a motion would be appropriate.
Then I'll move that we adopt the Regional Code of Civility as the revised version that we received. That changed a few words.
Second that.
We have a motion by Councilmember Burbeau, seconded by Councilwoman Moreno. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Burbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonsi?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Thank you, and thank you, Council, for being the first council in the county to adopt this, and we'll represent this to the rest of the councils. Next item on the agenda, back to our regular schedule, will be item B1, amendments to city services fee schedules. And I see Administrative Services Director Jerry Rangel has this.
Thank you very much, Mayor and Council. Tonight we have before you the annual update to the service fee schedule. And so this is broken out into 2 public hearings, one for the service fees and one for the facility fees. Okay, get going here. So this just will require a council action in order to adopt. The service fees represent a reimbursement, really, to the city for the costs that are incurred. So these are building permit fees and other things like that that people from the community come and want to request a specific service, and this will provide those reimbursement to the city. These fees are calculated based on the costs that are charged or are incurred to provide those services. And this was based on a study that was done in 2014. It was a pretty extensive study, and it did determine each one of those costs, and then we've been updating each year since then. As I say, we've been updating. The CPI adjustment for this year is 3.39%. Some of the fees are fixed by state law, so those have not changed, other than what the state law allows. And some of them have minor adjustments. Some fees don't have a lot of adjustments, just kind of depending. Recreation fees tend to really adjust based on kind of market conditions and those kind of things as well. If adopted tonight, these fees will become effective in 60 days. And with that, I'd entertain any questions.
Thank you. Any council questions?
Go ahead, Ryan.
We're just so civil and polite up here. Councilman Sturdivant, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted a clarification on the recreation fee there. There's a, on page 51, it just on the right-hand column for proposed, it says delete fee, which is a singular. I'm just kind of curious how that relates to the rest of the fees that were proposed, or that we actually had in 2017. I'm just trying to understand the logic there.
That is because the program is going to the Kennedy Aquatic Center, so they will be taking kind of managing the aquatics program for this year instead of doing it through the high school pool.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
Councilmember Burbeau.
Yes, my question, on the front page of the staff report in your slide, we indicated the CPI adjustment is 3.39%, which to some people would seem relatively high for CPI in the last years. But our staff report indicates that we're using the California weighted average. And there are, and I want people to understand, there are different CPIs. Because I know people talk to me and they, you know, hey, my Social Security check didn't go up 3.39% or whatever the case may be. How did we choose that CPI?
CPIs are really done, they're done by the Department of Industrial Relations, I think it is, through the state. And they will pick bigger metropolitan areas. So Tascadero is not going to have its own CPI rate. There's one for kind of Los Angeles area, San Francisco area. So to kind of be more fair, I guess, we take kind of the average of all of those and use that for these fees.
Thank you. I just want to make sure everybody kind of understands that, because I do get that question sometimes.
Thank you. Councilwoman Fonzie.
Thank you. When we discussed the weed abatement fees about a month ago, we had some discussion about changing or putting a cap on them. Those are going to take place next year, correct? Not at this particular discussion tonight.
Correct, because we've already noticed and done all the process for those fees this year, so that would be something that would take effect for next year.
Thank you.
Other council questions? Seeing none, I'll open up to the public. Any comment or questions on item B1? Seeing none approach, we'll close public comment, bring it back to council for further discussion or a motion. Councilwoman Moreno.
Yeah, I just want to say, I remember in 2014 when we did this study and we were so far behind and actually subsidizing a lot of what went on in planning. And so it was a big undertaking, and I'm glad we did it and put in that provision for CPI. It's never easy to raise fees because we know that's passed on to people who are trying to build projects, maybe add onto their home, whatever it is. And so I know we took a really good look at that. We had a consultant that went through and really determined what is the time being spent, so it is truly cost recovery. So I would be happy to move that we adopt the draft resolution establishing a schedule of fees and charges for city services.
Second.
And I will just make a comment before we go forward. I think it is important to review these, as it's not allowed for cities or government to make a profit. So there's not a desire to try. Well, it'd be a great desire. It's just illegal to make money on fees. However, if we aren't fair, if we don't actually calculate what it costs to do particular activities, then essentially we are in the danger of shifting costs onto existing residents. So as you know, when a lot of infrastructure is created at one point in time and then infrastructure added for that marginal cost, that next unit of a housing project may be farther away in the community that requires a little more cost, we want to make sure that everything we do is fairly distributing the cost to who creates it and not shifting those costs onto someone else. And I think that has been done, and appreciate staff's judicious review of these activities. And we have a motion on the floor. Again, could you repeat the maker and the second and go ahead with roll call?
Sure. The motion was made by Councilmember Moreno, and it was seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Fonsi. Councilmember Barbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonsi?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Mayor, motion passes.
Thank you. And a brief check-in with our city attorney on item B2. My understanding is I need to step down on that particular item, and I'll go ahead and explain why. Thank you. Similar to stepping down on the transient occupancy tax discussion, this is a review of the city fees charged for city facilities. And again, since the odds of me having an impact or the city having an impact on me is fairly small, it's still a technical issue that since I, as the owner of Portola Inn and providing venue services in the community, is in somewhat competition with, for example, a Lake Pavilion or a City Hall or any other facility. And so that would be one of the categories that I would not be able to vote on or have input to council on the appropriateness of those fees. And so on this item, I'll be stepping down, and Councilwoman Fonsi will take the lead, and then I'll rejoin council after that. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. This will be amendments to the city facility rental fee schedule. Go ahead, Jerry, and explain this one to us.
Thank you very much. So this is a very similar item to the last item that we heard. This item is specifically for those city facilities. So as the mayor alluded to, City Hall, the Pavilion, the community or Colony Park Community Center. So those items are what's the subject of this public hearing. So again, we did a CPI adjustment, a 3.39. This was last reviewed last May at this time. And if put into effect, it will go into effect in 60 days if adopted by the council this evening.
Very good. Are there any questions for staff? Mr. Barbeau.
Yes, and I believe I might have asked the same question last year and just can't remember the answer. In regards to the Pavilion rental, I do notice in a budget thing you gave us that it looks like revenue is up. It's doing well as far as renting out. Maybe that's because the lake's full and it looks so beautiful out there. But in terms of cost recovery, we have a differential on the Pavilion rental between residents and non-residents, which makes sense to me. But are we achieving full cost recovery, in particular for the non-residential rates for the Pavilion?
Typically, we're not on the Pavilion. That is somewhat subsidized just because the building does have a lot of costs associated with it, but we do try to make that available to the community and kind of put the rates at such a point where they would be affordable and kind of an option for,
right,
for folks.
Well, I mean, the council can decide if we want to subsidize a given thing, you know, to some degree or greater degree, and it seems that, you know, that's great for doing that for our residents and organizations in our community. But whether or not, I'm just curious, you know, if we know what percentage of recovery we are achieving when it comes to the non-residential rates for the Pavilion. So in other words, I might want to book an out-of-town wedding, which maybe we want to subsidize because that brings other benefits to the community. But I'm just curious if we know what percentage of cost recovery we are achieving for those non-residential rates.
I don't have that information with me at this point, but I certainly can research that and get it for you.
Okay. All right. I think it's just something to, it's worth being curious about, that's all. So thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Ms. Moreno?
Jerry, just in general, maybe a quick overview of the fact that we do subsidize a lot of the, I mean, we as a council have chosen to do that in terms of, you know, the community center and certain things because we want to make it affordable to the public, and there is a benefit to that to the city as well to do that overall. And I mean, when I say the city, I mean all of us. Could you maybe speak to that briefly?
Yes, that is true. So certainly it is council's policy at what level you would like to set the fees at for full or partial recovery. Typically, the council's policy has been anything that's been really building related, building fees, permit fees and things like that, construction fees have been set at full cost recovery 100%, with the exception of a few minor ones. Typically, recreation is the other end of the spectrum because we want the community to be able to afford the programs and get the kids in, you know, the sports and things like that. Those have been more heavily subsidized, and then that would follow with the facility fees as well and things like that. So it certainly is up to council to make that decision. That's kind of the way that it's been done historically. And so we've kind of followed that pattern, but certainly we can get information to you if you'd like to relook at those numbers.
No, I'm happy with that. I just thought it would be good for the public to understand kind of what we've gone through with the decision-making process. And I do appreciate what you're saying about the out-of-town, and I don't need that information for tonight, but that would be interesting to know going forward. So thank you.
Other questions? I just wanted to say thank you for putting this out very specifically because I can see that we don't charge, for instance, for nonprofits to have a booth at special events. I think this is very important to do that. We want to support the nonprofits that want a booth, and we want to support our dances, our facilities, and offer them to our residents first. Are there any people in the public that would like to speak on this item? Seeing none, we'll close public comment and bring it back to the City Council to take action. Do I have a motion?
I will move approval.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Moreno, second by Mr. Sturdivant. Roll call vote, please.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Councilmember Burpo?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor, motion passes.
We'll call our mayor back.
It's like the agenda always goes faster when I'm not up here. I don't know. What's the deal? Well, we already have taken care of item C1. Now item management report, item C2, parking and business improvement area, PBIA assessment. And our deputy city manager, Laura Christensen, will be taking the lead.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. The Downtown Parking and Business Improvement District was established by the City Council back in 1986, and the rules and regulations for that are found in the Atascadero Municipal Code in Chapter 11. It's governed by the Streets and Highways Code, and so what we're doing tonight is one of the requirements that a annual resolution of intent is adopted by the council. What this does is then allow the council to set a public hearing to come back to levy the assessment and then put it forward for collection. This also requires a annual report to be submitted to the City Council by the advisory body of the Downtown Parking Business. We're just going to call it the DPBIA, the Downtown Parking and Business Improvement District. For the 2009-10 fiscal year, the assessment was reduced to $0. And at that time, a report was no longer necessary as there wasn't any revenues or any budget to be reported.
I wanted to show on here the boundary map for the DPBIA. You can see it runs along Rosario, goes up behind the businesses along Traffic Way, goes up between the Armory and Colony Park, goes across to Capistrano, down and over to 41, and then back down along El Camino Real. And so all the businesses within this boundary would be or are subject to the DPBIA. The DPBIA, the advisory board, when it was originally established, was the Business Improvement Association Board of Directors. They disbanded in 2001, and Atascadero Main Street became the new advisory board. In 2016, the Atascadero Main Street kind of became inactive, and as a result of that, the Atascadero Colony District Committee was formed. And on a go-forward basis, they'll serve as the advisory body, and the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce will be the subcontractor. So when an assessment is collected, it will go to the Atascadero Chamber of Commerce, who will then push it off to the Atascadero Colony District Committee. They're the ones who will provide the report to the council and the ones who will basically be in charge of making the decisions for the expenditures. The Atascadero Colony District Committee, they were formed in early 2017 to promote the economic vitality and encourage business growth in the downtown businesses. In early 2018, they approached the city to reinstate the full levy of the DPBIA assessment. In wanting to move forward with asking council to reestablish that assessment, they conducted a bunch of outreach with downtown businesses, and a letter that they wrote to the council has been included in the packet. They did town hall meetings, they had a mixer, they sent letters and emails to the businesses, and they even did personal meet and greets with businesses to let them know what the assessment would be. They held, and they still hold Tuesday morning meetings where they talk about the DPBIA and the economic vitality and business growth in the downtown. They submitted that report for expenditure of funds, which is also included in the packet. And you can see here what they're asking for with this upcoming assessment that they're asking the council to reinstate. Right now, they've put it at $8,000. There may or may not be more than that. And then anything that's left over, obviously, will be residuals for them to request in the next fiscal year. In order to levy and collect the assessment, the council does have to adopt a resolution of intention and set a public hearing date. The assessment is 100% of the applicable business license charge. So every business who is subject to a business license within that boundary is also subject to the assessment, and that would be at 100%. The collection of the assessment is made at the same time that the business license fee is due. There's some alternatives where the council can set an alternative date for the public hearing. We just need to do it before we adopt the budget for the upcoming fiscal year. The city council can continue the current program and assess a $0 fee, or you can choose not to adopt the resolution of intention, and that would end the business improvement district. And then the recommendation and the request from the Atascadero Colony District Committee, ACDC, is that the council adopt the draft resolution declaring the intent to levy an annual downtown parking and business improvement area assessment and to set a public hearing for June 12, 2018. I did want to point out that there have been some emails that I think you've all received and that will make part of the record from some of those businesses in the area who are in favor of the assessment and who have requested council to reinstate the assessment. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. And my understanding is every email that I have received, and I assume all council received, have all been in favor of the forming this district. And I see Councilman Fonzie has a question.
Yes, thank you. I did approach a business owner in that area, and they were confused about the role of the chamber versus the colony district. Could you explain the difference for the public?
Sure. So the Colony District, the way that this has been set up with the municipal code is that there needs to be a type of nonprofit or business that
fiscal
has a board
intermediary
that the money that the city collects can then forward onto. So the chamber will be really the one who we forward the money onto, and then the chamber will then provide the money to the Atascadero Colony District Committee, who will be the one that will expend it on behalf of the businesses in the downtown.
Thank you.
So essentially they're a fiscal intermediary, but the decisions of how those funds will be spent will be by this committee.
Exactly, yes.
And the committee is made up of business members within the district?
Yes, it is, and I think some of them are here tonight as well.
And so you could not be on this committee unless you were a business owner or a property owner, or how is that? Is there bylaws that distinguish?
I don't think that they have bylaws that are set up, but they are all made up of businesses within the downtown because this is a business improvement area and not a property improvement area. So it is the businesses, although there are currently some property owners who are also in favor of that.
And maybe the committee can tell us, or the chamber, or maybe you can tell us, but I wonder how is that determined, say in the future there's a disagreement in terms of who should be on, what are the deciding factors or criteria for membership? And how are they selected?
They'll be best to speak to that.
Okay, so that'd be a good question to understand. I see Councilmember Moreno followed by Councilmember Burbeau.
I think that might be part of my question is how does it differ from the TBID and how it's run and board members are selected? And then is it similar that if the chamber's taking the money, is that similar? Well, taking the money, I didn't mean it that way. But they're sort of that intermediary. Is that similar to how then the city acts for the TBID? I mean, granted, we're talking vastly different sums of money. But I'm just wondering what the difference is. I know we're calling this as a BIA, but we're also calling it a district. And so just kind of generally, what's the difference?
Well, let me weigh in briefly on that. I was going to ask Dina, who is present. She and I both sit on the Tourism Business Improvement District Board. She currently serves as the vice chairperson. And I was going to ask her later. We'll even give her extra time to talk a little bit about the experience of the TBID and how that has worked and any benefits or problems. But I think maybe Ms. Rangel could describe it. It's a considerably more complex, my understanding would be, for the TBID. But do you want to kind of differentiate those two the best you can? You want to punt to the city manager?
Yes, I think the city manager would probably say it more eloquently than I could.
No one for you to punt to, so take it away.
And this is okay, because we did a considerable amount of research on this. We would be contracting with, or we would be giving the funds, and they would have to the Chamber of Commerce Economic Development Foundation, or the Economic Foundation, sorry, I don't believe development's in there. And they would be the fiduciary agents for the district. The district is not a formal entity. It is not a formal body, but they would be the consulting body to the Economic Foundation on how to, or recommending body, on how to expend those funds in the district. The budget would set forth what we expect the Economic Foundation to do with the funds. They would be responsible, again, for writing all the checks, for making sure that they comply with all of the audit requirements and other things that we would need to be able to do. So basically, the foundation acts as the entity, and the group that we've been calling the Colony District Committee, Atascadero Colony District Committee, is just an informal group that makes recommendations to it. Now, I say informal, they have, you know, elected a chair and a vice chair and those types of things, but they're not a true entity.
And they don't have publicly noticed meetings and Brown Act issues and all the costs that goes along with the TBID.
Absolutely.
Nice.
Well, and I just let me inject in that I do think they are substantially different organizations, but I think the one key difference is the this organization is going to serve more at the pleasure of the council. It's a council decision to create and or disband, maybe, or collect or not collect this fee. And when this existed before, with the council collecting this fee and giving it to a business group to manage, there came a point where basically there was a lot of noise and there was disagreement in the community about how this should operate or how money should be spent. And the previous council's response was, if you can't agree, you know, it's not something we can support. And so my guess is it's very important that if, for example, in the future, if the chamber disagreed with this advisory committee or the businesses had a strong disagreement or dislike, if there were problems in working together, I think the council would a future council would probably react like a past council. So I think it's really important to do what you've done. I think it's a very well organized. I think it's a good fiduciary intermediary with the chamber and good infrastructure, and I think you've really worked at involving the business community together, and you've kind of come to some consensus. I think that's what the council's looking for, because we have to represent everyone, and so it makes it very easy if folks say, we want to do this. We're most likely going to say, that sounds great. But I do think it's good to remember history and learn from that for the future. So I don't know if that answers your question enough or not. And Councilmember Barbeau.
Just a quick question, I guess, but somewhat of a comment in response to what you sort of asked about, Mr. Mayor, regarding property owners being involved. This assessment, if I understand it correctly, is on the businesses. It's not on the property. It's not on the property owners, and therefore the property owners are not directly involved, correct? So it's the people operating businesses in the downtown, correct?
Correct.
Council Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie.
Thank you. When you answered Ms. Moreno's question, city manager, the thought came, are we accountable for how they spend their money? They said $6,500 for lighting, for instance. They spend $6,000 and put the other $500 someplace else. Is this going to cause us a problem in terms of keeping them accountable?
This is not. This is going to be, it's a general budget, similar to what each department's budget is. This is their general plan for the year. They are required to spend their funds on things that benefit the downtown area and help promote it and help bring that vibrancy. So if they decided to do something really crazy with the money, you know, go buy a small plot of land at the south end of town.
Very small plot of land.
Yeah, very, very, very small plot. That would be a problem, but as they have some flexibility as long as they're towards this mission. We do like to have a budget that sets out a general plan in advance, but they don't have to follow it exactly.
Thank you.
I assume this would be a review after the fact, because they're going to say, here's what we might spend the money on. The chamber's going to keep track of how they actually spent the money on. After the fact, we'll get a report someday. Here's what the money was spent on. And they, like us, like the chamber, all are accountable to the public and our various constituents. If somebody has a problem with that, I'm sure we'll all hear about it.
Absolutely, Mayor. And as you indicated, this would, every assessment would have to come before the council annually. That's a good time to look back on what you've spent the money on the previous year to make sure that they're continuing to go towards those places.
I would assume from the chamber's experience that we'd see a proposed projected budget, we'd see an actual expenditures against that like we see with every other budget, and that's just something that would happen annually, and folks could have that discussion at that time.
We can certainly require that.
Any other council questions? We'll open it up to the public and invite, especially, Dina, I think there is some comparison of how has it been beneficial to the community of tourism associates and lodging industry. You know, has that been a success in your opinion, and do you see this being similar to that?
Similar, but different.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody.
I think the mic needs to be a little closer.
My name is Dina Alexander. I'm the general manager of the Carlton Hotel, and I'm also the chairperson of the newly formed ACDC. So I just want everybody to know how much we appreciate the city involvement, the chamber involvement, and all of our committee, which is here tonight to support us. We are really, really committed to the downtown district, and we want to move forward. We want to do more. We want to include the whole downtown. This started out as Trafficway Collaborators, and so we've evolved, and I want to make sure that all of the businesses know that what we're doing is going to benefit them in one way or another, whether it's just the beautification or bringing more people into the downtown, but it benefits everybody. And could I get everybody to stand up that's on our committee?
And could you introduce each one?
I sure can. So in the front row, we have Charles Matthews. He's with Edward Jones on Traffic Way. And then we have Deborah from Mudflat Mercantile on Entrada. And we have Kathy that owns property on Traffic Way and is going to be developing it right there next to El Paseo Plaza. And we have Kim Croft, who is with Patterson Realty. We have Dale and Marie Ramey, who are with ART, which is a gallery in El Paseo. And we have Tom Lewis, who is part of the Historical Society. And Terry Banish, who has been faithful in coming to our meetings, too. And I appreciate all of the input. We've learned so much. We still have a lot to learn. But we, like I said, we're truly committed to keeping the momentum going with the downtown. Thank you.
Thank you. While you're there, I'll just see if there's any questions from council for Dina. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if this question is for Dina or for staff, but how many total businesses, you know, that pay business license fees will there be in this area that'll be assessed?
I believe Laura knows that. I'm hoping.
So on our last count, it was about 166.
Thank you.
And is the structure such that if a member of the public wished to contribute funds to help this get going or anything, that is an option too? And I see a head nod by our chamber executive director, so
that would be yes.
That would be a yes. Any other question? Go ahead.
I forgot to add that the Atascadero Economic Foundation is a 501c3 tax-deductible charity.
So then you could actually donate money and get a tax write-off. So any high-income person like our city attorney could do something like that. Okay. Any other questions from our council? Thank you, Dina.
Thank you.
I'd welcome any other member of the public speaking on this, and certainly our board or the Chamber of Commerce.
Good evening, Council. I just wanted to come up and answer a few of the questions that you all had expressed. I started at the beginning of the year, I was super excited to join this fabulous grassroots effort of businesses in the Colony District here in Atascadero. Thanks to Terry Banish, we had some fabulous conversations. We engaged Deborah Cash, the former executive director of Downtown SLO, to learn about a business improvement district and some other really amazing opportunities. As the Chamber of Commerce is looking to support our downtown businesses, we, assuming that at the you all set a public hearing and adopt this intent to levy, the Chamber of Commerce will sign a management agreement with the Atascadero Colony District Committee to allow them at any point in time to choose not to manage or to have the Chamber of Commerce, the Economic Foundation, manage those funds. As staff can share with you, they have the ability to form their own organization, and we want to leave that open to them. But as we have the infrastructure in place to support these businesses, we thought it would be really a great idea to lend our hand in that capacity. This group of businesses is business people are so diligent about getting together and meeting every Tuesday morning and sharing what's happening in their businesses and their ideas to grow business in the downtown and to work collaboratively together. So it is our intent to continue to support them. I think one of the things that they will tell you is even if you all choose to not assess the businesses in the downtown, the Atascadero Colony District Committee will continue moving forward in their own capacity to support businesses and to support themselves. But this is just an extended arm and a bit more of an ability for them to make an impact and another outreach moving forward. So as we move forward and as the Chamber and the Foundation continue to support them, it's our intent to do so until they ask us not to, and we hope that they always ask us to support them. But as was mentioned, the Atascadero Economic Foundation is a 501c3 organization that members of the public, businesses, anybody can contribute on a tax-deductible basis, although you should see your CPA, because I'm not one. So anyway, I wanted to just extend our arm of support and say that we're happy that these businesses are really working collaboratively together to grow our downtown.
And I didn't see a line item in the budget for overhead, so I take it the Chamber is donating management services for this.
Yeah, at this time, the Chamber intends to donate management services. It is our mission to continue to support our businesses in the downtown, and our board of directors have made the concerted effort to support our downtown businesses, and so we don't intend to levy a management assessment at this time.
Other council questions? Thank you. I do have another question or two for the committee, and it's actually going to have more to do with where you see the organization going in the future. What kind of things would you like to do if you had a larger budget, for example? Do you see yourself moving into special events kinds of activities? You see a primary minimal advertising and recognition of the downtown? Do you have any kind of a vision of where the organization might go from here? Welcome back, Ms. Alexander.
So currently we do have Taco Day on Traffic Way. That's our main event for the year, and we would like to expand on that because we want it to be Taco Day in the downtown district now. So that's our goal, is to do more events like that. And we're also trying to piggyback off of city events, off of any event that's going on in the area, to attract people to shop in the downtown area. We've already got signage that we have in place that we put up at the events in order to draw people to the downtown area. I know that we are thinking about doing some pretty fabulous Christmas decorations that will, draw people to the downtown. And we would probably like to have two or three events a year, and then piggyback on the other events that are already in place.
Thank you. Any other questions for Dina while she is up here? Go ahead.
The city is going to be considering parking changes in the downtown area particularly. We're hoping to have some input from your organization at that point in time.
Great.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you. And I do think there's great potential for synergy. I'd even say that a downfall in cities that have done this longer than we have is they've really kind of gotten a lot of parallel processing. Paso, San Luis, you've got Chamber, you've got multiple organizations that don't necessarily communicate with each other all the time. And I think one area we have really have advanced as a city, being behind and smaller, is we've got a lot of synergy. I'm very glad to see the Chamber very much integrated in the community, but I think the Chamber, the city, the TBID works well together. I think your organization already working with the city through Terry Banish, there's a lot of potential. So I think that is something to really consider as an organization. Any other questions by council? We'll continue with public comment, and now we'll kind of go to the real public comment of a real member of the public. So start that timer. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Susan Funk from Atascadero, and I'm a real member of the public. I want to comment briefly that I did attend one of the town hall meetings down with the downtown business owners and observed a very constructive and open discussion process with business owners discussing among themselves what they want to do with these funds and the way to organize this. I did want to point out that for members of the public that might be concerned, as they see something new like lighting or visible things that the group might do, that these are not general tax dollars that are being done to favor a particular group of businesses, that these funds that they are collecting are coming out of their own pockets. And the city is being supported in creating a mechanism for that to occur. It's one of the ways in which the council can help create conditions for success in the community, and it's a really great use of the powers that the council has to support our local businesses. So these will not be general tax dollars at work, but will be funds from the businesses that are benefiting from that. But we'll have spill-off benefits to our whole community by having a healthy downtown. I'd also encourage the council, I noticed in the backup options that the staff offered that the council would have the option to essentially disband the thing by not accepting reports and not proceeding with the annual process. And I don't see any rush to do that sort of thing, but I wanted to point out to the council that that the business owners have invested a fair amount in creating the business improvement district entity. Now, the bureaucratic process to get there has costs involved. And by the council letting that continue, even though it was zero funded for a number of years, it preserves the investment that those businesses have made in their own future. And it would, to my mind, I would encourage the council to always think about that. You know, if the day comes when there's a cat fight over there among the various business owners and nobody can agree on how these funds should be spent, that zero funding it for a period of time to let things cool down and solidify would be a much better option than disbanding it and taking away the value of the investment that the businesses have made in creating the entity. With that, I encourage your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other speakers? Seeing none rush forward, we'll close public comment, bring it back to the council. I did have another question, though I don't think we entirely answered it. And Dina, sorry, it just may fall on you. That's what happens when you're the chairperson. But could you describe a little bit, I am concerned, having been involved with many organizations like this, great potential, but I've seen how things can go awry sometimes when it's not clear on what the process is. So you've got a group of individuals that if you are in a defined geographic area and you have a business license, you will pay a mandated fee. That's what we're probably going to do tonight. And then I assume, similar to the T-bid, any downtown business owner would be eligible to be on a committee. It could be that could be too many people. How would you decide who is chairperson, for example, or who is on this committee that would make decisions? Or is it open that anyone who is in the district that wants to be a member would be on the committee?
The meetings are open to anyone that wants to come and participate. We haven't found that we have an abundance of people that want to chair the committee. So kind of by default, and because of my passion for the downtown of Atascadero, that's how I became the chairperson. But it's just the commitment that we personally have made to the committee, I think, and that's what everybody that comes to the meetings understands, is everybody can have a say in what we're discussing in how we decide on things. So it's anybody that wants to come, we will welcome with open arms because we want to hear everybody's voice.
And of course, that's the right answer. However, I know that as things evolve, it may become a point where you have to have some guidelines or processes. And I think that's something that may just come out naturally.
Yes,
but
I can foresee that also. Because it was such a grassroots beginning, we haven't actually gotten that organized, but I do see that as being something that we will eventually have to do down the road with the guidelines. You know, and thankfully we had the chamber that was really, really helping us. Liz would, you know, bring an agenda for every meeting. And so it was a little more organized than than some people might think, and we will get back on track with that also.
Thank you. These are more words of encouragement than reprimands. But I do know nothing succeeds like success. And if you actually had it where you actually had money to spend, there's often more interest in participating.
Yes, when you start spending that money, people are going to come out of the woodworks and say, hey, you know,
we have an opinion.
Have it spent that way. Yeah. Yeah.
We found that up here. Yeah. Thank you. Any other council? Councilmember Barbeau, did you have an additional question or comment?
I do have an additional question. I was looking at, you know, the recommendation here. It says declaring our intent to levy, and then we will set a public hearing date for June 12th, which is our next meeting. And that is where we would actually agree to assess the fee. I'm not sure what notifications have gone out to the business owners in the area by the committee itself. But if we presuming adopt this recommendation this evening, will staff be sending a notice to all business owners in the affected area that, hey, this assessment will be considered by the council formally on June 12th? Or is the committee supposed to notify all affected business owners?
So the law requires that we post the resolution of intent in the newspaper. So the resolution of intent will be posted in the newspaper. The ACDC has been really good about emailing and sending letters to the businesses, to the affected businesses, and letting them know dates and times and cancel actions. So they've been kind of taking on that for individual notice.
Okay, but so the city is not responsible for making that, like we might be under some other circumstances to notify all affected people.
No, on these types of assessments, okay. The law requires that we just post the resolution of intention in the newspaper, which we will be doing.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that, you know, we have a great, good representation here, but that, you know, once we do that and it starts to appear on their business license bills when they renew, that other people go, well, I didn't know. You know, I want to make sure that they at least are aware that an assessment is coming. So, thank you.
Well, I'm certain when it's all said and done, there'll be folks coming forward saying, I'd never heard that.
That's why I asked.
And it's on the record. Thank you. Any other council comments? I would give some direction. What does staff need from us tonight? Should we have go ahead.
We just need you to make a motion to adopt the resolution of intention and set the public hearing.
Okay, I want to make a comment or two because I would like to maybe do this more in the form of an encouragement because it's going to come back before council and it's going to be more broadly publicized and there will be some folks coming forward that maybe have a problem, and I think you've heard some of the questions tonight. I think certainly minimal defining of the accountability. You're going to have a budget. You're going to track the expenditures, at least on an annual basis. The council will see a renewal application or something like that. We'll see your proposed budget and actual. And everyone can have a discussion on that at a public forum. You won't have Brown Act requirements. We will, at least annually, there'd be some review. I do think I would just encourage you to consider a more formal process of kind of like, not so much like an amoeba, kind of define the shape of the organization, because I think there will be greater interest in the future, and we just want you to be successful. I think it's great partnering with the chamber. I think, and you're all successful business folks individually. I mean, you know how to make this work successfully, and I think we want to encourage you. And with that, I'm going to make the motion adopting staff's recommendation and look for a second.
A second.
We have a motion by Mayor O'Malley, seconded by Councilmember Barbeau. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Barbeau?
Yes.
Councilmember Moreno?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember Sturdivant?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie?
Yes.
Mayor O'Malley?
Yes.
Motion passes.
And I'd like to add on to this, just as a, see if I can get myself into trouble here. See, I'm perking up the city manager and the city attorney, too. I think this process fits exactly with everything we want to do regarding economic development. It's the smallest budget I've seen. I would as a consider the council supplementing this first year to kind of get a jump start and see, get some things going a little bit. So if that was feasible, if that's something that could be considered along with this, the next councilman, I'm not talking about a lot, but you could double their budget and we would hardly notice it in the council's budget. And I think this is something we want to encourage, where, again, grassroots businesses come together, they have an idea, a vision, they do something. I think this is like an investment in our community, and so I will just let that fall flat for a minute. But if there was some consensus to even consider that, let me ask the city manager, would that be feasible as long as we had a kind of a small number we were considering?
Absolutely, the council has the right to amend, adopt, and appropriate funds. If so directed, we could add that as an agenda item for you to consider that.
Councilman Moreno.
I would just want to make sure that we weren't getting into I know we're talking a small budget, but you know, we've got prevailing wage issues with some projects, and I know this isn't that, but I would want to know from our city attorney that there weren't suddenly all these strings and requirements and...
Let me offer an alternative. For instance, our liaison to this organization is our Deputy Director of Marketing Promotion Special Events. What if we added $10,000 to her budget that was designated specifically for expanding new activities in the downtown district? Would that make that easier? Because it really would be under the Deputy Director's discretion.
I am not sure that would be easier. It would still come back to Council for the appropriation, but we can certainly look at that. We could look at which method works the best and bring it back to you if you would like.
Would there be council consensus just to consider options in that area, leave it with the city manager? Well, I have a... Roberta has a... I understand precedent.
I don't want to be a Scrooge about it, but I hate the idea of entitlement that sometimes comes with this kind of situation where they come back every year and say, well, we need a little more, we need a little more, we need a little more. I'm certainly willing to support this in concept, but I like to keep it loose.
My suggestion is that we defer discussion on this item until it's on the agenda. So I understood from the city manager that she could bring this back to you at a future agenda item, and you could then discuss the merits of the concept.
Yeah, so I think all we're looking for is consensus that city manager would bring this back.
Are you suggesting that you bring it back on June 12th when we're doing the formal assessment?
Yes.
Is that feasible for you as the city manager, time-wise?
That is.
And again, I think, go ahead, Councilman Moreno.
I was going to say, we've, as a council, decided that downtown development is one of our top three priorities, and so, you know, doing a little seed money, I understand your concern, which we can talk about next time, certainly, but I think it's worth us talking about.
Yeah, and again, I think I'm finished talking about this particular, so I'm changing topics, Mr. City Attorney, in case you were wondering. But in general, I think if a group of from the community comes forward, it'd be much like, I won't even name any others as an example, but if a group of business folks come together with a vision and idea and make their own investment in something that's already one of our priorities, I look at this as leveraging something to accomplish one of our own goals, and that's why I would consider something like this. With that, I think we can move on. Would you agree, Mr. City Attorney?
That sounds fine to me.
Okay. Thank you all for your participation. We're moving on to the next item on the agenda, which is council announcements and reports. Now, I was thinking, Mr. City Attorney, would it be appropriate for me to have a recess to like 9:15 and then continue for 5 minutes?
No, I don't think I'm going to win the estimate of the length of the meeting.
Okay, we'll go ahead then. They have a staff always have a pool of when we're going to finish, and apparently the city attorney had picked 9:20, so I just wanted to see if he wanted us to drag this out any longer. But
I wish to clarify that there's no money involved.
No money involved. Okay. It's just a friendly game of chance. Council announcements and reports. We'll just go through the list. I'll just go through in the order we have. So we had our city schools committee. I think we've talked about that at our last time. A mayor's roundtable. We've kind of discussed that with the main topic was civility and some other items. Councilman Fonzi reported on that. Council of Governments and Regional Transportation Authority, I will keep you informed about the 50th anniversary coming up, and there will be quite an event for that. And a little bit of presentation in each city about all that has been accomplished in each of our communities through that activities. And I think that's kind of interesting. There is quite a bit of fear about the future, however. Funding for transportation is looking a bit gloom, and it could create some repercussions, but I think we just have to wait and see and deal with that as it comes, though the regional planning organizations are planning for a lot of contingencies. We did have the Integrated Waste Management Authority meeting. As you know, we recommended that the IWMA consider the styrofoam ordinance, and being on the executive committee, I supported having the same presentation to that board as we heard here. And I can say that not one member of the public threw any styrofoam at the board anyway on that day. And I made the motion to adopt a countywide ban, as well as, I think it was seconded by council board member Gibson, and it was supported. Remember, there's a 13-member board, so there were two opposed and the 11 in favor. It'll come back to us. As you know, nothing proceeds fast. My recommendation is still not a little different than folks are thinking in their minds, because we are saying, yes, styrofoam is a problem, and it does shift costs onto other parts of our environment and businesses, and we want to take a strong educational approach. I think many of the folks we heard speak could be part of that educational process. We want to have a strong informational aspect to the businesses, and we think that would be best handled by chambers of commerce, informing businesses. Here are some alternatives. We do want to see essentially enforcement, meaning that if folks have complaints, that IWMA would process and handle those complaints, and then any activity on that would be deferred to cities, and that most cities are taking the response that this is not something they're going to have any major fines or fees. We want to take time, that we think there's been a reduction in use through education and information considerably over time, and we think this will continue to occur. So I think I'm recommending we kind of let that process continue, and I think it's going to be best businesses working with businesses and consumers working with consumers. So that's how I'm proposing we have education, consumer to consumer, information, business to business, and let's let that percolate for a while. We did not do that with the plastic bag. We kind of, when that plastic bag ordinance was implemented, they kind of went straight to enforcement, which kind of made people a little upset, didn't allow for a transition. And I think that we're hoping that we can have that more of a transition period. But that'll all be discussed at several more public hearings, and we'll see where that goes. You had a question, Councilman Fonzi.
Yeah, I just wondered if they proposed giving the businesses a grace period to use up their old styrofoam or get rid of it or sell it or whatever they do, and if there was any ability to temporarily opt out if there was a financial difficulty in participating.
Well, I think one component is an exemption, and I think I'm going to strongly support. I think every city supports that. There is a process that I think it's left up to us the discretion. I don't know that that would be as much of an issue if we really are allowing a period of time to let this percolate through. I think there'd be time to kind of consider, do you want to use up inventory? I think through information, there's a lot of alternatives. As you know, I think it's not getting into too much detail, the clamshell issue versus everything else. Everything else has got a pretty good alternative. And I know there's a number of folks in the industry that were willing to help others that have done pretty good at figuring this out. So I'm hoping, trying to decide whether Councilmember Barbeau will be taking over for me shortly on that. Since I am now off the executive committee, we could consider either I may be stronger in getting a position through and closing the loop on this particular ordinance, or I'm ready to bow out at some point between now and December, Mr. Barbeau. So do you have a thought on that topic?
I was going to add, I didn't know you were going to say that. I did attend the meeting, or at least most of it.
Go ahead.
There was some opposition from some restaurant owners in the North County in particular. I believe the ordinance as written, or the draft, did include a phase-in in period, and as the mayor indicated, there is some also leeway in enforcement, and that which is an issue of concern to me, which is how the latitude that each city would have on enforcement. There was one other thing I was going to mention about that. They indicated they were going to come back in September, so I don't know if that would impact on the timing. They were going to bring it back to the board as a formal ordinance in September, and then with an implementation date down the road. But I'm ready to serve on the IWMA whenever you think it's best.
Well, if it's agreeable to council, at some point I'm going to step down and see Councilmember Barbeau take over as he's our alternate. I had envisioned I would be out at this point. I do think there's some value of me staying on the board until that is resolved, because I've been more involved than others on that board, and I think we more likely might end up with something that North County is looking at for an alternative. Obviously, San Luis will probably be more restrictive. We're probably going to be pretty much Atascadero, Paso, Morro Bay. I think the whole North cluster will take I'm glad you brought up the. I think if not all, the predominant concerns were raised by North County restaurants and caterers, though I do think it was more influenced by not really realizing that the board was not being as draconian as they were thinking. And I think that should worry. I intend to work with restaurateurs, on that very issue. So I think it'd be great if you could attend every meeting here on out, because one of them I'm going to run out the door. In fact, as soon as they vote on styrofoam, I think I'm walking out, and you can step right up. Okay, so that's probably it on that, unless anybody has another question. And hopefully, if there is anything to report on the Ad Hoc Animal Shelter Committee, I'll have Roberta Fonzi, or the city manager, talk about where we are there. So Ms. Fonzi.
The design review will meet tomorrow, and we're discussing a Starbucks that's proposed for West Front between Marston and Jack in the Box. If there's any interest, please come. I received an email from John Neal yesterday, and the Atascadero Groundwater Sustainability Agency has received a notification from the State Board Department of Water Resources that we're considered a very low-risk area, which is good. So now the question comes up that we've applied for money for a grant to prepare the groundwater sustainability plan. We don't have to do a plan for quite some number of years because we're very low, but we have the option of using that money or not. So if anybody has any feelings, I'm leaning towards, if you have the money in hand, do the study and have it in place. But if anyone in the public or on the council has any other opinions, let me know. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I did weigh in with Councilman Fonzi. I think, as we all know, we are in very good position, one of the best cities in the state as far as water and our own unique water basin. Our challenges are more on the wastewater treatment side, and with current issues with the Regional Water Quality Control Board, their primary concern is protection of groundwater quality. And so I think this study, it'll just help demonstrate that we don't have a problem. The fact is they've tested nitrate levels at the wellhead for over 100 years, zero problem. I think the more we emphasize the sustainability of our water basin, the quality of our water, the independent management of our water in our city is going to help us is much on the other end of the spectrum, so I'm very glad you're involved with all of those agencies, and you've represented us very well, I might say, Mayor Pro Tem Fonzie, on the water committees, and it's helped us be in a very good position, so thank you for your service on that. Any other comments for Councilman Fonzie on that water issue?
I would just say I agree with your thinking on that. So.
It looks to be consensus. So you figured it right again. Thank you. Next, Councilmember Burbeau.
Yes, last week I did attend a Homeless Services Oversight Council meeting. One small item of interest, they voted to recommend the use of paid surveyors during the course of the biennial point in time count of homeless, which usually takes place in January of the odd numbered year, so coming up in January of 19, because there were some issues last time in terms of reliability of using using volunteers, and it only is going to cost about $5,000 more to have additional paid guides and surveyors to help find and enumerate homeless. Yes.
Can we recommend that they take that $5,000 and help those that are homeless rather than hiring somebody to count them?
Well, we could. I think the issue is, of course, that properly enumerating them is important relative to receiving grants, et cetera, that are more substantial.
I have a question. It seems like every time there's the enumeration done, they have this number and then they say, but we know it's higher. And that's, I can remember that for many years.
Yeah, I don't, I haven't been on long enough to fully address that. I can say that in last year, in the 2017 count, wasn't particularly affected by the weather, and which obviously no one controls, and yet inevitably if it's rainy, and stormy and people are really hiding out, you have an issue in terms of reaching and counting folks who are, hiding in various places. On the other hand, you have more people also then who have found a temporary shelter with a friend or that sort of thing. And there were also issues, in particular in the North County. They feel that the count last time was low because there had been action in Paso, in particular to clean out camps in the riverbed, which kind of temporarily relocated people, as well as made some of the guides that are, for example, former homeless persons who were used as guides, made some people more reluctant to reveal where they were or point out where other people might be. So between the weather and that sort of issue, they felt that there was a considerable decline in the counted numbers of homeless in the North County, and they did feel that was sort of artificial because for those two reasons, weather and individual circumstances. So,
thank you. Councilmember Sturdivant. Oh, I skipped right over Councilmember Moreno. Please take it away.
Just quickly, EVC meeting tomorrow and city selection committee meeting on June 1st.
Thank you. Councilmember Sturdivant, and we do have a League of California Cities couple meetings coming up. I did notice that there was a request to see if someone is attending and if we need to change who's voting and some of that stuff. Maybe you could enlighten us, Mr. Sturdivant, on any
yes.
of that if need be.
Well, actually, I will be out of the country when that occurs. And
so what's your excuse?
What's my excuse? I'm going to be halfway around the world when that comes around. So last year was in October, so I was hoping it wouldn't be a problem, but it pulled up. So I will not be able to make that. I will not be able to attend the annual conference this year.
What is the date on that?
September 12th through the 14th.
So council members might look at that. If I know that will not be a time I could make, I am going to the one in the summer up in Monterey, but if someone can attend that annual conference, just if you'd let our city clerk know, because we would at the next council meeting want to designate a voting delegate for that. And thank you for usually covering us for many years on that, Mr. Sturdivant.
I tell you, when it comes to schedules, they like I said, they pulled this up like 3 weeks earlier than it was last year.
Yeah, it's tough to adapt to that. I think that concludes our council.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
I did forget one thing. I am going to be attending a newly elected officials seminar put on by the JPIA, our Joint Powers Insurance Authority, at no expense to the city, because they cover most everything other than, you know, meals and stuff you cover personally. But as a result, I will be missing the Chamber of Commerce relocation and ribbon cutting, which some members or people listening might be interested that they're moving to the old City Hall.
Yes. Do you have the date on that?
June 4th.
So that's coming up.
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. Any other council announcements or reports, or staff announcements or reports? Seeing none, it's my time to initiate the once-a-meeting outstanding acknowledgement of public input. We have two members of public that actually sat through the whole council member meeting. We have Ms. Funk and Mr. Derez. So thank you both for your participation this evening, and we, with that, will adjourn.